Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917 is the telephone number that gets your call directly through to the studios right to our microphones today. If you'd like to do have some input, dialogue, questions, or comments in relationship to the subject matter today, the issue that we're facing, I would love to have you call. Join in the dialogue and discussion. You may have a question about some of these issues. And this is the reason this broadcast is designed as it is. It's designed with you in mind. It's a Q&A format where we can ask the questions or set the stage and allow you to call in and ask your questions, and we might give the answers and responses to your questions. It's always a joy to have you call in, join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each day. Let me remind you once again, as we face the issues, it's not a matter of philosophical rhetoric. It's not a matter of denominational dogma. It's not a matter of some political ideological bent. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. That's the whole focus of this broadcast, is what does God's Word say when it's the subject, the issue that we're dealing with. And let me remind us, we all face issues, and some call them difficulties, some call them problems. They're issues in life. And as we face the issues, we need to do so based on the authority of the Scripture. The Word of God is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I use that very, very clearly and definitively, because so many times we have those, even in Christian ministry and churches, that feel that somehow, some way, they need to modulate, modify, or in some way change the Word of God to fit the narrative of what they're saying. When we focus on the issues based on the authority of Scripture, it's called a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview means that we look at the Word of God from Genesis through the book of the Revelation as a source book of truth. It is not truth here and there, not truth occasionally, but it's the totality of truth. It is God's revelation of Himself to man. And as we face the issues, we do so based on God's Word, the Bible. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to John 8:32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am truth." So what is truth? That's the question that begs to be asked and answered. And Jesus answers that question for us in John 17:17, where Jesus Christ Himself said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be willing to speak the truth. I believe we live in a society today where people are afraid to talk about the truth. Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbor." And I believe that's what we ought to do. It's a matter of truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And so we need to stand on the truth of the Word of God, whether we make folks upset or not. And I have discovered during the past several years on this daily broadcast that multitudes happen to disagree, and they want to get a little wired up because they disagree with it. Well, if you disagree with it, just simply go to the Word of God and let God's Word resolve it. I'm not going to try to modulate or in some way massage the truth, because some folks might get a little wiry because of it. But let's just speak the truth. And as we do, we need to understand it comes from the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for the individuals that are looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness and hurricane cleanup equipment. Tools for Time has a line of Honda generators and backup power equipment with a full staff to answer all of your questions. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? That's located right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Look up, find the 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24-7. The base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. That's ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe is relevant. It's an issue that I believe that every Christian needs to hear and heed. Every Christian needs to respond according to the Word of God and not based on feelings, but based on fact. We're talking about today the entertainment-driven church, the entertainment-driven church. I have with me today on the set Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps and I, a little later in this broadcast, will be having dialogue about that question, the entertainment-driven church. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe one of the most difficult things that we find that we have to face today is asking the question, what is the church? Who is the church? What is the church about? Why should the church exist? What is the church's main message? What is the motivation for the church? What ought to be the manner and operation of the local New Testament church? We find across the nation today multitudes that have made mega business out of the church. They've made it mega entertainment centers in churches across our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day where it's difficult to differentiate between the church and secular entertainment centers. We have churches today, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps I'm talking to some that may be pastoring a church like that. You may be involved in a church like that. We have bowling alleys, theaters, aerobics, swimming classes, yoga, and all kind of entertainment and things that are designed, ladies and gentlemen. I understand the design purpose, designed to grow crowds and have crowds to be involved in what is called the church. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it also, let me remind you that First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295, and we invite you to worship with us on Sundays, 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. Yes, we have the evening worship as well as the morning worship. We have the 9:30 Bible study hour. Many call it Sunday school. Some do not like that term because they think it's just related to children. But it's the Sunday morning Bible study, 9:30, 10:45 morning worship, 7 p.m. evening worship, then 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We have the question and answer or the Bible study segment with the fellowship meal and some singing. We'd love to have you join in, participate either of these services at First Conservative Baptist Church. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the books that I had the privilege of authoring and publishing a number of years ago, it's called Jesus Speaks to the Church. And some of the material that I'm going to talk about today, you can find in this book. It's about 200 pages, to about 250 pages, in fact. It's a book with 7 or 8 chapters, and it focuses on chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And Revelation 2 and 3, it covers the 7 churches of the book of the Revelation: the pitiful church, the persecuted church, the popular church, the paganized church, the powerless church, the preaching church, and the putrid church. The putrid church is the one we're talking about today, the church at Laodicea. It is lukewarm. It has no focus on real biblical truth and what God's Word says is Bible preaching. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, the book Jesus Speaks to the Church will be made available to you today. It regular sells for $19.95. We just call it a $20 book. But for a $5 or $10 contribution, donation, whatever amount, $5, $10 that you want to provide to continue to support this broadcast on the radio each day, Let's Face the Issues, call in and leave your telephone number, address, and name with our call screener. He will get that to us, and we will ship you that book, and we'll even pay the postage for you. We'd love to have it in your hands. It's a book that every Christian needs to read. Every pastor ought to have. If you want to get it and give it to your pastor, he might learn some things in it. I'm not saying that in a denigrative fashion, but I believe we need to get back to the old-fashioned gospel and what the Scripture says. But ladies and gentlemen, our churches today are simply trying to focus on keeping the congregation entertained. Talk with someone just a few months back that's in a church not too far away from the central portion of our city, and they were talking about, the pastor is such a wonderful pastor. He makes us laugh. And then I went on to ask them questions, and they said, well, we have a lot of good Christian entertainment. So what does that mean? They said, well, on one Sunday, we had a Christian wrestler came in, got on the platform, and he wrestled for us before the congregation. And they thought that was just wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. That's what it is. It's not wonderful. It's amazing that God allows that to continue, but he does. But ladies and gentlemen, preaching sometimes is just a little tidbit of scripture. And about, some called it a number of years ago, $2 worth of God. And if you ask the question, what is $2 worth of God? It's just simply enough to satisfy, but not enough to bring conviction. Today's churches are focusing on that $2 worth of God. Dr. Phelps, I'm saddened to say, but I find so many of our churches today focused on that $2 worth of God. Cotton candy theology, goosebump theology, kitchen theology. I've grown to call it voodoo theology because you won't find it in the scripture. What do we talk about? Entertainment churches. Ski trips for the teenagers, shopping trips for the seniors, movies for the kids, indoor theater for the couples, seminars and on health and wealth for the whole congregation, instruction on how to be happy. I've said before, some teach how to be happy even though you're married. You know, it's that kind of stuff that's being taught today in our churches. Trip to the mountain in the summertime, so-called Christian athletics to give so-called testimonies and entertainment, but no biblical preaching. No biblical preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that goes back to Charles Spurgeon's day. Charles Spurgeon, on the question of entertainment-driven churches, he said, many churches attempted to form by a form of attractional model, seeking to lure devotees by prizes, expensive giveaways, games, fairs, promises of fun. Further, he says in this article, it never was the business of the Christian church to supply the world with its amusement. Further in the article, our mission, however, is not to entertain the world. It is to save sinners through preaching of the gospel. The world will provide entertainment, amusement enough for the world. The church's distinct offerings and singular mission is the soul-searching preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, not only are frivolity and gospel incompatible, one will eventually destroy the other. No one can serve two masters, and neither can a church pursue both silly entertainment and true gospel preaching. At some point, either the church will allow the seriousness of the preaching of the gospel to win the day, or the church will choose entertainment of its customers, as he called it, as its ultimate pursuit. When the latter choice is made, the urgent gospel of salvation from judgment will no longer be allowed to threaten the good vibes of the entertainment church in the nation, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today, the entertainment-driven churches in society. In fact, Pastor David Jeremiah, National Radio Broadcast Ministry, coming out of his church in California, David Jeremiah warns that churches are too focused on numbers and entertainment. Dr. David Jeremiah warned that too many churches in the United States have forgotten why they exist and focused on entertainment and social issues instead of focusing on things the Bible tells us to focus on. In his interview, Dr. Jeremiah said, and I quote, the church is coming under attack. It's forgotten what the church is supposed to be. We're not an entertainment service or center. We're not here to see how close we can get to what the world does, but there's so much of the world in the church and vice versa that we can't tell a difference. We have to hold the truth. We have to get nourished. If it is not happening, you're a social organization and not a true church. Jeremiah further explained that he understands the pressure of churches to face the successful eyes of the world. But there are more important issues in the church than just numbers of people sitting in the pew. Finally, Dr. Jeremiah says, he said, pastors should be focused on spiritual disciplines that make churches healthy, rather than being preoccupied with the techniques that will make it only grow numerically. Don't worship at the altar of attendance. A lot of good things happen in churches when there aren't huge numbers, but the pastor has prepared a good message and there's real worship. We get off of this thing that we have to be bigger than the guy down the street and have to get more people in the building. When you're focused on that, You'll never preach anything that's controversial, and you'll always be trying to figure out how to get more people to come into the doors, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing, I believe, nothing that will bring biblical Holy Spirit church Christian growth and conviction of sin that leads to salvation other than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You look at the Revelation text in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and you find the Laodicean church, and the Lord Jesus spoke to them in relationship to what they were doing in the church of that day. He said in verses 15 and 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Dr. Phelps, I don't know about you, but that's a serious, ominous thought. And I believe we're living in the day of the Laodicean church, where we're not hot or cold. There's a mindset somehow that you can just entertain, and entertainment will get you by. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You're listening to Dr. Youngblood. We're delighted to come to you today. We have on the set with us Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps, there are a lot of preachers, I believe, that simply, without saying so, they're ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed of what the Word of God says. They're ashamed of what the Bible teaches and what the reality is. I'm looking at an article that was in a national magazine just a few days ago for the October issue. This article says, written by one international pastor, incredibly many evangelical leaders insist that what's needed is even more of the same. One popular book for pastors even suggests that in the current political climate, the worst possible way to start a sermon is by telling the people to open your Bibles. Some Christians today act as if they are embarrassed by the Bible. The lead pastor in one of the largest churches in America recently suggested that Christians should stop saying, "The Bible says." After all, he said, it's an ancient text, and most people today don't take it seriously. He insists that pointing people to the Bible only makes one message sound less persuasive, hopelessly irrelevant. In fact, in this article, the lead prominent portion says, when intolerance of the truth is heightened, the need for preachers to open the Bible and declare its truth boldly is greater than ever. Churches that tone down the message to accommodate the spirit of the age are playing into the enemy's hands and the scheme of things. He goes further to say, Paul might well have been speaking to our generation. Preaching it's on the decline is a major way. Numerous churches, including several of the largest, most heavily marketed evangelical congregations, have relegated the pulpit ministry to a second-class status. Where preaching itself is still featured, it is short, superficial, and rarely biblical. The trend is toward topical messages focused on timely issues, human relationships, success, self-help, recovery from addiction, and what this writer called lightweight preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to recognize what the Bible says the church is responsible for doing. Dr. Phelps, you've heard my elongated monologue. What do you think about what has been said? Where should our listeners be tuned, and what should they think, and how should they respond? What is the church? What is the church for? Why should we not just have a church building and use it for entertainment? After all, that gets people to come through the doors. That fills the pews. That fills the buildings. And I believe, Dr. Phelps, many churches today feel that if they have hundreds of people coming to the church building during the week for yoga and for classes of whatever they would set up and orchestrate, that's a fictitious idea of church growth and development. So what are your thoughts? How should we respond? As Francis Schaeffer said, how should we then live?
One of the first things I would like to suggest is that Paul gave us something in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about the church. He said concerning the teaching of young Timothy to his congregation, that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:16. And I gather from that that the church must, first of all, be a place of truth. And so we believe that people need to get the truth from the local church.
Yes.
From the place where God has designated that we should go and worship and serve, the local church.
The local church is the place for the proclamation of the gospel. In fact, a number of years ago, while still in graduate school, one of the graduate school students that was graduating with me, this was back in the early 80s, had written his dissertation on the purpose of the church. And he said, and it's very simple, succinct 3 points, Dr. Phelps, he said, the purpose of the church, the reason the church exists, is to exalt the Savior, to equip the saints, and to evangelize the sinners.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know of any better 3 points that you could use. That everything that we do in the church should exalt the Savior. So we need to pause and think for a moment, I believe, Dr. Phelps, for the benefit of our listeners. If you have a wrestler on the platform, and that's rather than a preaching service, is that exalting the Savior? If you're focusing on getting the crowds by yoga or by training them how to speak in tongues or how to leap tall pews with a single bound, or whatever you may call it, is that exalting the Savior? Is what is taking place in your church today, ladies and gentlemen, listen, is what is taking place in your church today, could that be considered exalting the Savior? Secondly, does it equip the saints? Dr. Phelps, I believe equipping the saints means simply teaching the word, preaching the word, training them in the word, that they might be memorizing the word, hiding the word in their heart, using the word of God to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. What would your thoughts be on those 3 points, exalting the Savior, equipping the saints, and evangelizing the sinner, being the three main directives that God gives us in his word for the church?
One of the New Testament epistles of Paul, the book of Ephesians, tells us much, in fact, tells us everything that we should know about the church. Paul spoke of the mandate of the church, and that is the work of the ministry. And I'll read in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 12. God gave people to serve, like apostles in his day and pastors in our day, those who are called to the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I read some verses that Paul wrote to the church about the purpose for the ministry of God-gifted men, pastors, teachers. It's for the edification of the body, that is the church. Edifying, that is building up, so that we become mature as Christians.
Amen. That would be the exalting the Savior in doing so. That's equipping the saints. But Dr. Phelps, the third part of that statement from this writer was to evangelize the sinner. So as we exalt the Savior and we become equipped ourselves, we then, that equipment is to go and tell, to go out from the walls of the church and reach the lost in the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when it comes to the proclamation, the preaching of the Word of God from the pulpits, so often there's the feeling that it should be funny, it should entertain, and many people look for it. In fact, there are a number of people today that said And it's in the modern era that we're in, especially when it looks to the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group. They said they don't want to go to church and be bored. They want to be entertained. In fact, according to the Barna Report, the overwhelming majority of the current modern younger generation, they made the statement, they want to be entertained. That's their statement. They want to go to church, but they want to be entertained. They want to be made to laugh. They want to be made to feel good. But Dr. Phelps, Dr. Richard Land, a number of years ago, he was still serving as the chairman of the Ethics Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention. He's now retired, but Dr. Richard Land said, quote, "Preaching was never intended by God to make one feel good, but to bring conviction of sin." And I think that's what preaching ought to be about today. And yet there's that mindset somehow, some way, that pastors feel and many Christians feel that they need to be entertained. And so therefore, the pastor should make them feel good, should make them laugh, should bring about a sense of euphoria rather than a sense of conviction. So Dr. Phelps, just very succinctly, and we'll go through this for the balance of the broadcast, what is the church? What is the church for? What are we to do? And then we want to boil down in the latter portion of this broadcast today, how does the person get saved? What does the person have to do to find the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? And in that thought, Dr. Phelps, later we want to talk about, is baptism necessary? In fact, I noticed in listening to a blurb just before this broadcast, an individual was talking. It was a little brief moment, theological moment, I think they called it. And he was saying something about being baptized to be saved. And I don't find anything in the scripture that would allude to that at all. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and answered. Who is the church? What is the church? Jesus spoke to the seven churches, Dr. Phelps, in Revelation 2 and 3. And I think we can go to the seven churches of the book of the Revelation, and we can find an overview of every church throughout every dispensation, including the today's dispensation, which is the Laodicean church, lukewarm church, where there's a focus on entertainment and not a focus on exalting the Savior, equipping the saints, and evangelizing the sinners. So Dr. Phelps, take a minute or two before our break and tell us something about the church. Why is the church? Where is the church spiritual Israel? Where did the church come from? What is the church for? And how do we recognize the church biblically speaking?
One of the things that I've discovered from reading the scriptures, especially Paul's epistles, Paul's writings in the New Testament, is that the church is something new. It was new, something new in his day. And so he wrote the book of Ephesians to explain that the church is something new and different from the old Jewish assembly of people in the household of Israel.
Yes.
So the new assembly is called the body of Christ. It's sometimes called the church. But it's the household of faith. It's made up of those who are saved, whether Jew, Gentile, or whatever ethnic group they may have come from. And it's made up of then Jews and Gentile believers in the time of the New Covenant. Whenever a person is saved, the Bible teaches us that a person is added to the church. God adds to the church those who are saved.
Yes. In fact, you find that in the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2.
Yes. So when the church had its beginning, we believe it had its beginning there in the book of Acts, chapter 2, then it was something new and different. And it had to have an explanation. And so that's what the book of Ephesians is about. It explains to us this new work, or this new organization, new organism, we call
organism,
it today.
The church, yes.
Living church. And it is the place where you'll find the truth of God when you have a man of God that's called to pastor.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back about 1 minute after the news break. Come back and join us. Let's face the issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.